live from the heart of Los Angeles. This is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. With tonight's guest, we'll author of The Business Casual Yogi, Vish Chatterjee. And performance guest, OK Chanel. I am Mark Legere, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I just am. I'm thinking about so many things, and in part because this weekend I had an amazing experience with some lovely, wonderful people that I love and I know love me. And it reminded me of all the experiences that have not been that for many times, many, many times in my life. I was reminded of a time when I used to go places around the world and come back and tell people where I've been and where they should go and what they need to see while they're there, and that they have to go do this and they have to go eat there, and this is the best place for this and that. And then there were times when in my travels, my plans would be completely disrupted. And then I would have experiences, spontaneous experiences that I wouldn't even know how to describe. And I wouldn't even know how to tell people, you got to do this. And technically, I felt that they had to do that more than anything else I'd ever experienced. But I didn't know how to tell them to do that. I didn't even know how to achieve those experiences myself. And most of the time, or maybe all the time, I just didn't know it, it required some kind of surrender. And usually it was after I got upset and said, this is wrong, this is bad, why are the trains not working today, or why is the flight late, or how come I missed this, or what do you mean there's no room at the hotel? And once I finally got past all of that, then magic, in a sense, was able to happen. And so that's what happened this weekend, in the sense that there was a moment where we all realized that all of the plans that we had made, none of them were supposed to work out or were going to work out, and that we all surrendered or allowed and or opened up or something at the same time, and then the rest was just magical. And so getting to that, allowing for that, is something that I am striving for, and I believe some of the answers to that opportunity is in our show today with our guest, Vish Chatterjee. And I'm looking forward to that and our Ask Dorothy, as well as our performance guest with OK Chanel, all on the Life Changes Show. Wouldn't you agree, Mark? I'm here with our executive producer and co-host, Mark Legere.
I would agree. You know, I was thinking, what came to me while you were saying that is I was thinking about, what if leaves on a plant or a tree or flowers decided that they were going to bloom at different times, or that they didn't want to grow in the direction that they are supposed to grow? And no, I'm not going to grow now. I'm going to grow here, or I'm going to grow over there, or I'm going to wait and not grow until tomorrow, or which is what we're doing every day when we're controlling our outcome. I don't want to go here. I'm going to go here. Wait, I want to go there. Right. And imagine when we get in the way of nature, which is working so perfectly. And I think you use the word surrender.
I use the word surrender indeed. Thank you for that, Mark. Well, what a perfect way to start our show and introduce our guest. He is an accomplished business leader turned executive and business coach, and he is the author of The Business Casual Yogi. Welcome to the show, Vish Chatterjee.
Thank you, Filippo. Thank you, Mark. I'm excited to be on the show with you this evening. Your evening, my early morning.
Yes, indeed. Well, you heard the introduction. I think that answered a question for you that you had while you and I were talking earlier.
Yes, I'm in the land of surrender.
So before we go deeper into that, I have to say we surrendered collectively because I think it's very interesting that you are you live just down the road a bit from where we all live here at the Life Changes Show, and we could have had an interview almost any time except right now. You are where exactly?
Yeah, so normally I reside in Redondo Beach, California, just a 20-minute drive from your studio. But at the moment, I'm in Rishikesh in India. Rishikesh is a little town at the foothills of the Himalayas, right in the banks of the mighty Ganges River. And it's sort of the world center of yoga and meditation. And it's a phenomenally energetically, spiritually charged place. But maybe that energy starts to disturb basic things like internet and power. We've had multiple power cuts and internet cuts over the last few days. But it has been a lesson in surrender indeed.
Well, what a perfect place for you to be. Obviously, you know it well and those spaces well, in that you bring so much of that to the book and to the coaching that you do. And so when we say that which you are bringing something to the business world that has had an introduction years ago, and a lot of people are familiar with yoga for yoga's sake, but there's so much more.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Rishikesh has played a very big role in my life. I first came here 23 years ago, just out of college. So I'd finished my mechanical engineering studies at Northwestern. I decided to travel to India and find myself, and somehow ended up in Rishikesh, which is, you know, it's where the Beatles went when they wanted to find enlightenment, right? Mm. The Beatles were like, you know, we want to find a guru, we want to find a teacher, let's go to Rishikesh. And so I was, you know, in my 20s, and I thought, well, if they went to Rishikesh, let me go there. And sure enough, I ended up here and I met a teacher. And coincidentally, his name is also Vish. So coincidence, right? So I show up to yoga class and the guy in front of me, his name is Vish, and I'm Vish, and I speak English and he speaks Hindi, and that's about it. And so we communicated through laughter, and he became a dear friend for the last 23 years. And he's also now a very well-known world famous yoga teacher and trained in a traditional Himalayan style of yoga, the original tradition. So I had been learning from him and using yoga in the morning as a way to ground before I went into my corporate world. So I had a career as an engineer, as an executive, as a startup entrepreneur. And I used yoga as just a morning grounding routine. I do a little bit of asana practice, moving my body, a little bit of chanting, a little bit of breathing exercise, a little bit of meditation. And it took about an hour and a half every morning. And then I would go to, you know, Rishikesh Vish, and I would say, Vishwaji, can you give me a routine that's not an hour and a half, but maybe an hour and 10 minutes? Sure, no problem. And then I'd get promoted, and then I'd come back to him and I'd say, can you give me a 45-minute routine? And he'd just smile and said, okay, no problem.
Well, wait, why did you want a shorter one?
I got busier. You get promoted, you get busier, you have more responsibilities, you manage more, you don't have time, and the morning gets quite rushed. And finally, I got to a point where I said, Vishwaji, his name is Vishwa, so Vishwaji, can you give me a 15-minute routine? And he looked at me and he smiled, he said, okay, no problem, here you go. I finally got the routine down to 12 minutes, and I had a 12-minute morning routine. That's what I did. And it served me well, right? Until everything blew up finally. My startup life went through the flames of the startup journey and realized that my calling was actually something much deeper, which was to go deeper into the Vedic and yoga tradition of this land of India, my native place, and bring some of those teachings to the business world to help leaders find more balance and more success and more happiness in their lives. So I still do have a good 12, 15 minute routine that I offer my clients, but my ritual is now a good hour and a half, 2 hours, back to what the original intent was from 23 years ago.
You know, I get the feeling that if Vish had said no, that you would have either stopped or you would have found your own way, which wouldn't have been right, right? So he let you go through your process?
Yeah, these yogis are really incredible. They see right through to the deepest being of you. They're not distracted by your drama, your emotions, your material needs. They see right to the core of who you are. And they're patient to let that core emerge in its own time when it's ready. And there are ways to accelerate that. And that's what these practices do. They help accelerate them. But you also have to be willing, right? You have to have that sort of time when you're like, you know what? Everything's falling apart. I need something deeper. And then the yogi appears and says, okay, here you go. Here's what you can do. So these, you know, I remember I'd watch The Simpsons, and, you know, every time there was a challenge, I think Homer had a challenge, he would go up to this mountain, and there's this Indian guru in a cave that would give him advice. And that's how it is here in Rishikesh. These teachers are all over. I mean, wherever you go, you stumble onto some wise soul that has a powerful message for you. And there's a concentration of them here in Rishikesh, because the word Rishi means the learned one, the learned seer. And Kesh means the place of, the abode of. So Rishikesh is the abode of the learned seers. Seers mean the ones who can see deep into your soul.
So even if we did an hour and a half of meditation, or what we think might be meditation or practices or all that, I know that so many of practices that that some of us do, or potentially many of us do, are a lot like, I would say, those experiences that I would describe to people saying, oh, you have to go do this, and you have to see this, and you have to go eat there and eat this, that we say things to each other like, oh, I do yoga, and I do this, and I do this, where we might be missing the whole actual experience of the life that comes from all of those things happening together somehow, or synergistically, or... You tell me what I'm trying to describe, because I know you know better.
So, Filippo, it depends on sort of, you know, what is your goal and what is your purpose, right? So, you know, we all have different responsibilities. Some people, they've hit a point either in their spiritual evolution or their life, wherever they are, that they want to go deep into a spiritual existence. And so they will have, you know, a life that revolves around their practices. But for most of us, and that's, you know, a lot of us, and me included, we have material world responsibilities. We have things that we want to contribute to the world. There's work that we have to do. We have to, you know, generate income. We have to take care of our families. We have to contribute to society and offer our talents in various ways. So in that case, that's great, right? We get up in the morning and we, you know, get dressed, and then we go out and do our work in the world. And then we come back in the evening and we are tired and we find ways to relax, and then we go to sleep. And what I found is, if you go out into the world without a nice protective blanket on, the world really bombards you, and it can really throw you off your game, so to speak, throw you off your path. So the morning ritual becomes this very powerful way of donning this, you know, safety blanket in a way to get through the day unscathed. And so I look at these practices and I say, okay, there's these, you know, laundry list of practices that are great if you're on a spiritual journey, but can we just take a few pieces of it and adopt it into our busy lifestyle just to give us a little protection? So when we go to work, we're not so affected by that difficult email that we got, or that difficult coworker that challenged us, or that difficult project that isn't going well. And what I find is, with a little bit of a ritual in the morning, you start to have a much more efficient day. So you actually accomplish more by doing less. The goal is, how can we accomplish more while doing less? And these morning rituals, with a little bit of investment of time, like even my 14-minute routine, that little investment probably saved me several hours because of the efficiency it brought into my workday.
So why would it bring efficiency into the workday? Are you connecting with what the day is going to be like? Are you visualizing how to make it a better day? Are you just more grounded? What's happening in those rituals?
Yeah, great question. So you've heard the saying, you know, if I could only get out of my own way, right? That's common in our Western culture. If only I could get out, you know, or you talk about something like, oh, if she could only get out of her own way, she'd be so amazing. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we're not just a bundle of muscles and blood vessels and joints and bones moving around. Right. There's this animation to it. Right. We have our physical body, but there's this animated being that is our mind and emotions. And that mind is pretty wild. Right. That mind can come up with all sorts of crazy scenarios, some of which lead to breakthrough innovation. Right, your creativity of your mind can lead to innovation and you know, great wealth creation, but your mind can also go to some really dark places and prevent you from moving ahead and being successful. So there's a layer that's beyond that, just mind and emotion. So many people walk around with these bundle of bones and joints and muscles with this, you know, big ego mind that is constantly churning, but there's another layer of our being that's beyond the mind. And there are different words for that. It can be in some traditions, they'll call it your soul. Some traditions, we might call it your consciousness or your inner wisdom, your divinity. But there's something deeper going on that for eons, we've been trying to figure out, what is that? What is that deeper thing? And the purpose of morning rituals, whatever they are, is to connect that deeper you, that deeper inner wisdom, to hopefully get more of that inner wisdom to show up in your daily life. And so then you start making decisions in your workday from that inner wisdom rather than just from the, you know, cluttered up mind. And that inner being is the one that knows how to prioritize better. If you have a long to-do list, your inner wisdom knows what are the things that will move you forward with most impact. When you have a meeting, your inner wisdom is the one that knows, you know what? This partner looks to be like a good fit, and this other partner seems dangerous and risky. So that intuition, that deeper intuition that's beyond your mind, you can't really explain it logically. That is what you're trying to access on a regular basis.
Those are great examples, because these are things that happen day in and day out. I think of a conversation I had with a client just this week who said, that her business partner did such and such and such, and she can't believe that she did that. And we went back to the first time the two of them met, and she had this gut feeling and things that we don't pay attention to. And I said, so potentially we can get to the point where you're listening to that gut feeling. Potentially you can get to the point where you don't even attract somebody like that. And am I right in assuming that what you're saying is these kinds of practices allow for those kinds of possibilities?
Yeah, exactly. So in Western culture, we call it our gut feeling, and everybody knows what that is. And, you know, in business, when you talk to any very successful business leader, they'll say, trust your instincts, trust your gut, right? But that's about all we have is the gut. And where's the gut? Was it our intestinal system? Like, that's all we have to point to, right? And that doesn't make any sense. But in the Vedic system, in the yoga system specifically, we not only have our physical body, but we also have an energetic body, an energetic layer of our being that can't be seen, but can be experienced. And in that energetic body, there are these nodal points called chakras. And everybody in the West has heard of chakras now. It's kind of a, you know, cool new wave, new age hippie thing. But chakras are actually these energetic center points, nodal points in your system. And that is actually where your gut resides, your gut intuition, that word gut, your intuition, your deeper knowing, they reside within these energetic channels. And so yoga, and not just, I'm not talking about the gymnastics yoga that's performed in a, you know, a gym or a yoga studio, but I'm talking about the whole system of yoga that I write about in the book. You know, I go to a Himalayan yogi to get his knowledge and then translate it for everyday, you know, modern Western people. And what I explain about the chakra system is it is your energetic deeper being. And when you do these practices of yoga and meditation and breathing techniques and ritualistic, even lighting a candle, for instance, and closing your eyes in prayer, you're sort of cleansing that chakra system a little bit. You're sort of clearing the clutter of the mind out of it so that the chakra can shine a little bit more and show up in your life more. So it's sort of like, you know, brushing your teeth, right? If you, you brush your teeth 2 minutes in the morning, 2 minutes in the afternoon or in the evening, and then what happens is you reduce the buildup of plaque, right? And you can't be like, well, I'm going to skip 5 days of teeth brushing and just brush for an hour on the weekends. It's not going to work. You need this daily cleaning in order to maintain good dental health. So in the same way, your chakra system needs daily cleaning in order to stay shining and bright, and so that intuition can stay shining and bright. So in a way, you could say we could reduce the whole thing down to a morning cleansing ritual that cleans your chakra system, because then when the chakras are clean, you have a better connection to your intuition. And as we know, your gut instinct leads to decision-making, great partnership choices, and in the end, better return on investment of your time and your energy in the workday.
I like it. For life, for life, for relationships, for everything.
Everything.
What, the book is The Business Casual Yogi, Take Charge of Your Body, Mind, and Career. And our guest is the author, Vish Chatterjee. And when we come back, we're going to learn how to clean our chakras, evidently, and learn some practices, some micro practices, and dig deeper into this wonderful conversation with our guest. You could also head over to headandheartinsights.com. It's where you'll find more information on the book and our guest, who is a coach, business and executive coach. And also, the book is available anywhere online where books are sold. We'll be back with more conversation with our guest, Vish Chatterjee, and then we'll have our Ask Dorothy segment, and finally our performance segment with OK Chanel, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world to raise awareness about the issues we face and, most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety, but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like you see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at LifeChangesShow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am host Filippo Voltaggio. This is our episode 706, and it's titled Micro Rituals, The New Secrets to Success. And we have as our guest, accomplished business leader turned executive and business coach and author of The Business Casual Yogi, Vish Chatterjee. And Vish, you were talking about our chakras and cleaning them. And I have a question. How do they get dirty?
So we get bombarded all day with all sorts of emotional challenges, right? When things don't go our way, we expect a project to go a certain way. We expect a client interaction to go a certain way. We expect a conversation with our children to go a certain way. And we expect the world to operate a certain way. And especially with what we've been through in the last few years, it feels like not a lot of things go according to our expectations. And so we start to feel like, you know, constantly hammered and battered by things not going the way we wish they were. And that starts to create this emotional sort of baggage and clutter and muck, so to speak. And that starts to, you know, if you look at the depression rates, the suicide rates, the mental health challenges that are in our society, they're at a severe point at this right now. We're at a breaking point, or past a breaking point, you could say. And so what's happening is this load is just sort of accumulating and accumulating and getting, you could say the chakra system is, you know, cluttered up and mucked up, gunked up. So the yoga system specifically is designed to tackle the chakras. So every single yoga pose that you do is targeted at a specific chakra, actually. And so just doing a sequence of yoga poses starts to cleanse that. So that's one, you know, the ultimate fix. Now, not everybody wants to sit and do yoga in the morning, right? So, and if that's not the case and they're not comfortable with doing, you know, a yoga routine every morning, then there's other things that are sort of like macro practices. And macro practice, very simply, right? Getting up in the morning and going for a nice early morning walk. That's a very easy way to move the energy through the body, both the physical body and the energetic body. And that early morning energy, if you notice, if you go out just before sunrise, there's sort of this feeling in the air. It's almost magical or mystical. That automatically does a cleansing, just being in the environment, just being in that air and that specific time. So, you know, just getting up and doing an early morning walk, slow walk, not a rushed walk, and really observing nature around you, that automatically does a little bit of cleansing. And one of the key things not to do is get up and look at your phone, right? So the moment you wake up, if you grab your phone, you start looking at the news, you start looking at emails, you're not ready for that. Your system, your nervous system is very sensitive at that point. And that makes it very hard to then do any kind of cleansing or any kind of recovery. And that's most people's routine, right? They wake up they go to bed looking at their phone, they wake up looking at their phone, and they wonder why their nervous system is so battered and shot throughout the day. So, you know, step one, don't touch your phone first thing in the morning. The other big step, obviously, is in order to go for an early morning walk, you have to go to bed early. So it's almost like your daily morning routine starts the night before. You know, can you plan your evening in such a way that you wind down and get to bed at a decent time so that you can actually get up and enjoy that early morning rejuvenating energy? So that may be one of the first practices I would recommend is early bed, no phones when you wake up, and an early morning walk. Then following that, prayer is a great cleanser. And it doesn't really matter what you pray to. It doesn't matter what is your religion, what is your faith, what is your system. And even if you're an atheist, let's say, some kind of surrender to some higher power, whatever that is.
There's that realize, word again.
Surrender, exactly. Some in yoga, we call it Ishvar Pranidhan. Ishvar Pranidhan is a Sanskrit word for surrendering to a higher energy, realizing that not everything is in your control. You do not control the universe. You do not control what happens in your day. And just taking a moment to stop and saying, you know, I'm grateful for today. I'm grateful for what may come. It may not go the way I want it to, but I'm grateful for it nevertheless.
So Vish, to be
alive today, right?
Thank you for going there. And before we go deeper into more of the macro and micro rituals, what you're saying right there, I like, and yet it seems like it's in direct contrast to be in control of your life. You know, the self-help, you can do this and you can have anything you want kind of thing.
Yeah, I think we set the expectation in the self-help world that you can be a magician and you wave a magic wand and you get whatever you want. You know, I try to find ways to scroll through social media. It's not my pleasure to do that, but you know, I think it's important from a business point of view to know what's happening. What is the zeitgeist out there? And because I'm in the coaching profession, I get bombarded with these, you know, coaching ads that are like, you know, abundance, bring abundance to your life. In 3-day course, we will teach you how to bring abundance. And it's almost like they're promising if you just change your mindset, all of a sudden you're going to be rained upon with wealth, right? So it's too good to be true, right? And I think there are people that have limiting beliefs and limiting blocking beliefs that prevent them from enjoying true happiness, abundance, and contentment. And so clearing those blocks can make a magical difference to their lives, for sure. So I'm not knocking that mindset shift. But also, when things don't go according to what you expected, you know, can you try to control your outcome? Can you try to control the universe? But can you also let go when it doesn't work out the way you wanted it to? And In our culture, we're so oriented towards success. If we set our mind to something, it doesn't work out, we're devastated.
Or what we think is success, Vish.
Yeah, that's right. We come up with a vision of success. We set that intention. Then it happens in a different way. And then we think we're a complete failure. Mm. And then we can't recover from that. So learning to surrender is maybe one of the biggest lessons in the Indian tradition, is things may not work out the way you want them to. And you have to be able to let go, because then you can tune into the other success that was just lurking around the corner. I always talk about this in the dating world, where you have an idea that you want to meet somebody who's blonde hair and blue eyed. And that is your definition of love and happiness. And so you go around, you go out to wherever people go to meet people, online or at the bar, and you're looking for this blonde, blue-eyed person, right? And right next to you is a brunette with brown eyes who's actually your perfect soulmate standing right next to you, but you're not noticing it because you're so fixated on this, you know, sort of intermediary goal. So rather than saying, okay, this is what success looks like, it's blonde hair, blue-eyed, what success is in this case is finding love. And so set the intention of what you're really looking for. I'm looking for happiness. I'm looking for contentment. I'm looking for love, whatever it is. Set a higher order intention and then be open to how that may show up in your life. It may not show up exactly the way you want it to, but if you have your eyes open, it'll show up just in a different way. So this is where you use the intention to sort of set a direction, a compass heading, but then you let go of how you actually get there. Let go of the details. Don't sweat the details. Be open to outcome. And that's where the surrender becomes very important.
So I take it it's easier to don't sweat the details if we've had micro rituals. And you're talking about actually macro and micro, so if you can define that. But you're talking about mainly in the morning. But I'm assuming there's evening and there's afternoon and whenever you can kind of thing. And I'm also noticing that you're bringing in like when you wake or when you sleep. So I have a feeling that you're going to go diet and those kinds of things too.
Well, I mean, here I'm in India, the land of ritual. There's a ritual for everything, right? You open your eyes in the morning and the first thing, there's a ritual to look at your hands. Then the moment you put your foot out of the bed, there's a ritual for that. The moment you turn on the water, there's a ritual to, you know, be grateful for the water. Then, you know, there's like, everything's a ritual. You decide to, you know, have lunch. There's a ritual before lunch. So there's a ritual before bedtime. There's a ritual before cooking. There's a ritual for everything. Wow. Right. But of course in our, you know, Western life, it isn't possible. It isn't comfortable. And so then we have to prioritize, right? For the Western mind who is busy and harried and, you know, difficult life, challenges and stress and all that, where's the most impact becomes a thing. So yes, if you have the time, rituals at different times of day, especially sunrise, sunset rituals are great. But for most people, the morning's very powerful because you've been asleep for however many hours. Mm. So your mind is pretty calm. Like that emotional like clutter is much reduced in the morning. So you have access to your deeper wisdom a lot easier early in the morning than you once the day gets going and all the clutter of the day starts to clutter up your chakra system, you could say. So that's why I like the morning as the most powerful. And in Vedic system, we also have a whole massive school. We don't have time to talk about it, but the Vedic astrology system, which is, you know, very sophisticated, very elegant, very different to Western astrology. But there's a certain time known as Brahma Muhurta, which is the hour of the creator. And this is the time when you have ability to connect to, let's call it the creator, whatever that definition is in your mind, inner wisdom, the soul, divinity, higher power. And that time is just around sunrise. So if you do anything around sunrise, whether it's quiet meditation, lighting a candle, prayer, going for a walk, doing some yoga asanas, yoga poses, anything there has a multiplicative effect. So that's where that morning becomes very, very special. What can you carve out in the morning? And so I urge your listeners to think about, in my morning, how much time can I carve out? And whatever that is, that's comfortable for you, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, whatever you can make, then within that golden hour, that golden time, the hour of the creator, the Brahma Muhurta, whatever you do has a multiplicative effect. So pick wisely. Are you going to bombard yourself with difficult news and difficult emails? It's going to have a multiplicative effect on your psyche for the rest of the day. If you can instead take that time and do it towards quietness, contemplation, energetic work, it'll have a multiplicative effect on the rest of your day. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just because it's on my mind, the micro and macro, what is the difference real quickly?
So micro just means something simple, right? Like the macro ritual is, okay, I'm going to set up my altar and put my crystals and my idols or my stones or things of meaning, and I'm gonna, you know, light incense, and I'm gonna put a little pot of water, I'm gonna bring some flowers, I'm gonna make an offering, I'm gonna do this elaborate, I'm gonna chant a series of prayers or mantras. It's this very elaborate sort of, you know, involved thing. That's the macro, right? But for the micro, maybe I just light a candle, right? I light a candle because lighting a candle is bringing light to my day. So I might close my eyes, take 2 or 3 deep lung filling breaths, and then light a candle, look at the candle and say, may there be light in my day. And that's it, right? That's a micro. And either way, in the Indian system, we have complicated ways and simple ways. Either way, they're activating the right energies. So if you start simple, eventually it starts to open up deeper consciousness in you, and you'll start to know how to make it more complex and more relevant for you. So start simple, right? Can you carve out 5 minutes in the morning to light a candle, look at it, and say, may I have more light in my day? Mm. That's it. Start with that. Then as you start doing that, you might say, you know what? I'm going to start journaling about things I'm grateful for. You might add that in. Or you know what? I'm going to go for a 10-minute walk before I do that. You know what? I'm kind of intrigued with this yoga thing. I'm going to buy Vish's book and learn a short 12-minute yoga routine for the business casual yogi, right? So, and then little by little, you might start extending.
In case you're inclined to buy Vish's book, like you just suggested, it's The Business Casual Yogi. Take charge of your body, mind, and career. Vish Chatterjee. I'm going to spell that. It's C-H-A-T-T-E-R-J-I. Vish. Vish Chatterjee. Vish, I get a sense that you are what is that called, dharma, following a path that is well, I'm not going to explain what dharma is because I don't know if I can, but it is definitely your path, in that you're taking these concepts that others practice in certain ways and helping it be possible to be practiced by some of us that live very different lives.
Yeah, alignment is the word, Filippo. The simple word is, can we better align to our deeper wisdom? And, you know, many of us live way out of alignment and we suffer because of that. And the moment we can align to our deeper purpose for existence, in a way, we're all spiritual beings, but some of us are lost in the human journey. So can we just bring a little bit of a spiritual understanding to our lives through whatever method resonates with you? And when you do that, you start to have a little bit more alignment. And as a byproduct of that, you start to have more peace, more happiness, and also more success.
Wonderful. Thank you. I look forward to more of this conversation in this book, The Business Casual Yogi, and also in potentially many more books to come. Vish, thank you so much. Vish Chatterjee, everyone. Again, the website is headandheartinsights.com, and The Business Casual Yogi is available where books are sold. What a pleasure speaking with you, and I am so grateful that the energies kept the internet on.
Yes. Thank you, Filippo. I'm very grateful to be on your show. I'm very grateful to all of you who listened to our conversation today. And of course, I'm grateful for the internet and electricity that kept consistent through our conversation. Thank you, everyone.
Wonderful. Thank you. And with that, when we come back, we have our Ask Dorothy segment, and then we are going to feature our performance guest, OK Chanel, right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to dorothydonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and it's time for our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Josie from New Jersey, and I would like to know why I can't forgive the famous man I told you about who I dated and who abused me not only physically, but emotionally, mentally, and spiritually as well. I have shared my story in AA meetings, and everyone gets upset with me when I refuse to forgive this monster. Even if I chose to forgive him, it would not change our relationship for the better. It would just give him permission to do it all over again. How do I get over my story and move on and get my friends to understand that I do not need to forgive him?
Dear Josie, I'm so happy you are ready to end this painful story and to move on to a happier and better life. I agree with you that you do not need to forgive the man who caused you so much pain. I wasted so many years of my life being unable to forgive a man who abused me emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. I would try to forgive him, and instead of being able to do so, I would end up more frustrated and angry than before, and I would make the less than elegant choice of drinking too much to numb my pain. Fortunately, I came upon a master spiritual teacher who shared with me that the only people we ever need to forgive are ourselves. He suggested that I forgive myself for allowing this man to continuously abuse me and to forgive me for not walking away and stopping him from further abuse by disconnecting from him physically, mentally, and emotionally. Once I made this elegant choice and forgave me, my life changed for the better. So, dearest Josie, I encourage you to lovingly forgive yourself and free yourself from this negative time of your life. By choosing to love ourselves enough to take responsibility for our choices, we can truly move on to new and happier adventures. And we can choose loving relationships versus the not-so-good reactionships we've endured in the past. I look forward to hearing from you once you have chosen to set yourself free.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
Thank you indeed. And now it's time for our featured performance guest, who is a singer, a songwriter, and we're so glad she's on the show. We've got some exciting news to share about her. Welcome to the show, OK Chanel.
Hi, how you doing, Filippo?
Hi, I'm doing great and even better now that we've had a conversation with Chatterjee and we got you on. And you've got some exciting things going on in your life.
Definitely do.
So Tess Cacciatore introduced us, and she's got a series that she's working with a team of beautiful people that includes you. And you, yes. It's The Right Turn. Tell us about it and what you do in it and what's going on with the song that you are lead in.
So the song that I'm leading in, it's a great song. Honestly, we have a music video that's supposed to be coming out very soon with the song. It's a very uplifting song, honestly. And a lot of the women that are also featured in the show are also in the music video. It's just all around just beautiful. I'm super excited about it. In the show that's called The Right Turn, I play Nettie Turner, who is the daughter. And she kind of goes through ups and downs with her boss, her family, her friends, her mother. And it's pretty just, you know, it's kind of a wild story, but it's really exciting.
It is exciting. And I've gotten to see some clips and you do such a great job. Talk about life changes. You go through so many of them in just one episode, it seems. This particular song we're talking to, people will know once they get to see The Right Turn. But in the meantime, this particular song is written by Tisha Campbell and her team. It's called The Time of Your Life. And just 2 days ago, Hollywood Music in Media Awards announced that The Time of Your Life is nominated for Best Original Song for Woo-hoo! Romantic Comedy. So yes. Very exciting. Congratulations to you all. And so we're hopefully going to get to feature that song within the next month. But in the meantime, we've got some songs of yours that we're going to feature. Why don't we just go ahead and start with one? Tell us about this first song, Sorry.
So this first song, Sorry, my father's actually Jamaican, and this song kind of resonated with me. So I just decided to kind of do my own little rendition. The song has been done multiple times. So I kind of wanted to do like my own little cover of it. This song is called Sorry, and it pretty much speaks for itself. Honestly, the words are just beautiful.
Well, here's OK Chanel and Sorry.
I'm feeling so foxy right now. Just turn the beat on.
Sorry, it's all that you can say. Years go by and still the words don't come easily. Like, sorry, like
You started to sing live right along with
it. I know, I was so excited.
I liked it.
Myself.
And I know that's where we wanted to go, but I forgot to mention, yeah, that was pre-recorded, and that is exciting that you get that excited about.
You have no idea.
You know, it's interesting and very fitting. Actually, before we get into all that, I just have to let everybody know. Okay, Chanel, you could follow her on Instagram, and it's _ okay Chanel, Chanelle. And then she's on Facebook and YouTube and all that. We have her links on the Life Changes Show page for her, so you can find her there. But on Facebook, she's okay Chanel, and YouTube, etc. So you know, you are multi-talented. You've explored your talent in many different ways, in many genres. So, you know, how do you pick and choose throughout the day?
Whew, man. Okay, let me go ahead and narrow it down as best as I can. Honestly, my mind just runs a mile a minute literally every single day. So it's kind of hard to narrow it down. But, you know, my first love is music, and then, you know, writing is a hobby for me. So I just, you know, try to focus that, like, as much time as I can on that every day, honestly. And then when it comes to acting and everything, that's also one of my first loves as well. But everything kind of just falls into place. It's kind of weird. It's so hard to explain and understand. I feel like you would have to be in the environment and, you know, to kind of understand it.
Well, I like how you've studied your craft, and even better yet, how you said to me when we were talking that you know that you don't need a degree necessarily to be a singer or a musician. Exactly. But you studied it. You you got a BFA in musical theater. Like, mm-hmm. you like it that much, or you're that interested in learning as much about it as possible, not just doing it.
Exactly. It's like, you know, when you play the piano, you just got to keep practicing. Honestly, it's like you don't want to get rusty at the end of the day. You know what I mean? It's just like when you're also in acting classes, because you're not always going to be in a feature film or a commercial. You know what I mean? So you have to steady progress yourself and just, you know, aim for the top. And the only way you're going to do that is, you know, by practicing and just keep going, keep doing what you love and keep doing what you're doing. You know what I mean?
I do. And, you know, there are a lot of people that I know, actually, I'm very blessed to know people that are very talented. And some of us have a hard time choosing, like, where to go next. And so, like, where you seem to have a handle on where you want your career to go from here. So what is that?
So I most definitely do. Honestly, what helps me is my team. Everyone that's around me, friends, family, my photographer, my engineer,
my boyfriend, honestly, shout out to Yala Cartel. Yala, I love you. It's so hard to narrow down, but honestly, like without the love and support of those people, I would kind of just be lost. So they help me, you know, stay focused in my craft and my love that is music and just performing in, you know, in all aspects.
So to have people you trust and who love you and you love saying, potentially telling you honestly, like, this works, this doesn't seem to work for you, or how about trying this? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, because honestly, as an artist yourself, come on now, like, we all contradict ourselves. We are our worst critics. I swear we are. It's so bad. So, like, you know, I myself always need that reassurance to, because I know the talent is there, especially if you are an artist and you pursue this and you've booked gigs and you've done this and that, like, you know that the talent is there, but we always contradict ourselves. And, you know, that's like in the front of our brain, and it's really hard to kind of quiet that voice down. Mm-hmm. So what I look to is, you know, friends and family, but I also make sure I also put the work in and I'm not relying and depending on them as well. You know, it's a lot of, cause I don't want to self-sabotage myself at the end of the day either. So I really, you know, you just really have to be confident in yourself and really just, you know, own what you do and love what you do. And don't be afraid of the choices that you make. That's something that I tell myself every day. Like, just because one person did it, you doesn't mean you can't do it. Or if you want to do it a different way and you may think that someone doesn't like it, so what? Own and love and just, you know, be in the choices that you make.
Okay, Chanel, are you going to be adding motivational speaker then to
the
list of things?
Look, okay, don't get me started, Felipe. Do not get me started.
Oh, no, I want to get you started. That's what I'm about. So, and actually, you've been inspired by singers in the past. Tell us about a couple that really inspired you when you were a kid, but also who you want to be working with going forward.
Yeah. So, you know, as a kid, I've listened to Mary J. Blige, Monica, Lisa, like, honestly, it's just a kind of a broad spectrum. Beyonce, the list goes on and on and on and on. And who I would love to just like collab with right now, who's kind of in the limelight, is some people like Doja Cat, Cardi B. There's a new artist right now. She's kind of popping in New York. Her name is Ice Spice. I absolutely love that girl. And Drake, obviously, you know, he just has that sound that you can't really pinpoint like what it is. You know what I mean?
It's the Drake sound. I mean,
it's the Drake sound. It's champagne poppy. I mean, come on now.
You're adorable. Can I say that?
Thank you. Oh my God. Yes. Yes, you can.
So, all right. Well, you know, if for someone who seems to have it all right side up, we're going to go into a song that's called Upside Down. So tell us about that, unless it speaks for itself too.
Yeah. So me and my engineer and actually my boyfriend were all in the studio one night, and man, we were in there until like about 6 a.m. just listening to beats, and I was humming, and I was like, I was like, that's catchy. So I just kind of wrote to it, and it's about relationships. Like, you know, like, relationships are always up, they're always down, they're always left, they're always right. It's just, it's always a big conglomerate, just cluster of just a mess, honestly. That's what and it's feeling.
Oh, great.
And everything. Yeah.
You make it sound so enticing.
Oh, you are going to enjoy this song, I promise.
No, oh, I know. I already have, and I'm looking forward to sharing it right now with our audience. And you know what? If you want to sing live along with it, you don't stop yourself. But
I'm going to let the song play for itself. We'll let the words sing for itself.
All right. Well, it's pre-recorded, and here is OK Chanel's Upside Down on the Life Changes Show.
Yo, Aaron, you ready? All right, let's go.
A-Rose. up to me. I'll be gone by the end of the week. Tired of playing games, tired of your energy. You see all of me, but with you I barely get a peep. Tired of playing games, tired of your energy. Don't forget that it could be the way you want it. Can you see that? Ain't no other girl gon' do it like me. Ain't no other girl gon' do it like me. Can you be for me? Can you ride with me? Can you keep it real, G? You can be all I need. Can you be my peace? Can you roll my weed? Can you be my king? Can you be all I need? My love is upside down, upside down. Your love is upside down, upside down. My love is upside down, upside down. Your love is upside down, upside down. Sick in the morning, sick in the evening. Worry about you, what is the real meaning? I'm not gonna complain, you do you when you need it. I'll be here in the morning and here when you need it.
Why you won't call my phone?
You could be all I need. Come on, sing it, Leah.
You better sing it.
sorry, I called you Leah. It's okay, Chanel. So actually,
that's all right.
So it's
I don't have anybody looking for me, so it's okay. I promise.
okay, Chanel on Instagram _ okay Chanel Chanelle. She's on Facebook as Okay Chanel, on YouTube. You can find her links on our website. And actually, Chanel is her middle name, so you know, I know her by her other name as well. So you know, good on you for mixing it up and making it fun and adding the okay. I like it.
Okay, that's all it is.
Yeah, okay. And there it is. And there it is. It's a pleasure getting to share you with our audience. I look forward to getting to know you. I know there are a couple events coming up, and you know, all the best to you and your career and the series and all of that.
Thank you so much. And stay tuned for that song too. It's unreleased. I should be dropping it next month. Oh. I'll have a time day for everyone. So just stay tuned on Instagram and YouTube.
For Upside Down?
For Upside Down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know this was a world premiere then. Thank you.
Okay.
Very exciting. Okay, Chanel. All right. What a pleasure. We'll connect again.
Thank you so
much. All
right.
All the best. Well, with that, with Okay, Chanel, and with our guest chatter, Vish Chatterjee, what a great show we've had. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.